in the back of the Sefer of the Mayamis from Rav Leib Eger, there's a small piece from Rav Shlomo Eger, who was the grandson of Rav Leib Eger. Okay, so you see that the family took on a slightly different mahalach. And we have one other Torah here that I sent you from a Sefer called Chamer Tava, which Amir Tzashem will get to as well. Okay, so let's learn, let's jump in. Let's try to understand what it is we're celebrating today, what it is we're trying to connect to today. And he writes the following. L'chamisha asar b'shvat lo nirsham hashana. Okay, often the svarim are, you know, it says like what year here, look like Tafresh Mem Aleph. Right, that this Torah was shared in the year 1881. Okay, so 1 year on Tu B'Shvat, lo nirsham hashana. We're not sure exactly what year this Torah is from, but again, we can guess it's in the late 1800s. And here's what Rav Leib has said: Hine isa b'svarim hakadoshim remazim kadoshim al shemitu b'shvat ad rosh chodesh Nisan mem heyo. Tu B'Shvat is 45 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, now what is 45 days? What is the connection to what we're thinking about and trying to connect to today? And it's a Nisan. I mean, it's a crazy thought to think that we're 2 months away from Pesach or 1 month away from Purim. What exactly is the idea of 45 days? V'yesh lomar gam kein b'pashtus. He says the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about this. There's lots of Ramazim, there's lots of deep ideas. 45, there's a lot of Ramazim that have to do with the number 45. It's one of the names of Hashem has to do with 45. But he says, I want to keep it simple. I want to explain Bapashtus. Shekamo she'le'ilan yesh mem hei yom l'klita. Just like a tree, when you plant a seed, it takes 45 days for it to what? For it to take root, for it to be able to connect itself to the possibility of growing into something. Kmo kein be'esek yitzias mitzrayim, maschil ha'esoris b'tu b'shvat. If Nisan is the month where we actually experience Geula, so then 45 days before that, and we know that one of the opinions is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world on Aleph Nisan, or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Aleph Tishrei, Aleph Nisan, a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph. And as Tosfos tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, they're both true. Tishrei is the starting point of the world, and Nisan's the starting point of the world. But really, says Rav Leib Eger, 45 days before that is when, so to speak, the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim was planted. He's like, what do you mean planted? It was a whole year of Makos. Okay, the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim was planted from before creation. But it was really, so to speak, the seed was, so to speak, placed in the ground and began that process of actually becoming something during these 45 days. So if you roll back Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 45 days, Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so what does that mean? V'yotze b'hizgalus b'chodesh Nisan. This hisoris, this awakening, this possibility of leaving Mitzrayim and becoming Klal Yisrael, that of course will only emerge, will reveal itself, like we were learning yesterday in Avodas Yisrael, right? That they had Bris Milah, but they didn't have Priya. There wasn't even a full, even when they left Mitzrayim, there wasn't a full Giloy of who we were. And we needed the Sfiras Omer to kind of become who we wanted to be. But again, even more so, the idea of it was planted on Tu B'Shvat. And it starts to reveal itself a bit more on Chodesh Nisan. V'hine kmo eitz ha-sadeh tzomeach tamid b'chol shana v'shana me'elav mikolach hanetiyah rishona. And just like a tree, as it goes through a long and hard winter, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments a little bit more, but it always comes back to its netiyah rishona. In other words, the tree, as you see it today, however many years it's been around, in a certain sense, it's always drawing, it's always connected to its netiyah rishona, to the original planting. Right? It's going to go through ups and downs throughout the calendar year. Sometimes it's going to look like a dead winter tree, sometimes it's going to look like a flourishing tree. But it always goes back to that starting point from the netiyah rishona, the initial planting. Va'af, he writes, shebechoref nechrav v'yavesh, and even though in the winter, make it a drop bigger, even though the winter, The tree is what? It looks like it's been destroyed. It lost all its beautiful leaves. It lost its fruit. It seems so yavesh. It seems so dried out. Mikol makom koach halachluchis lo nifsak. The lachluchis means the moisture. There's something inside of it that's still moist, that's still fresh. Again, if we think of moist as fresh and we think dry as dead, right? Like it says, lo hamesim yahaleluka. The dead cannot praise Hashem, like it says in Hallel. And that's the source, Chazal say, that you're not allowed to use a lulav yavesh. Right? You can't recite Hallel with a dead lulav in your hand. Because you know, if it's dried out, that means it's not alive. Dry equals not alive. Moist, fresh, means alive. So even though the tree on the outside looks destroyed and dried out, but there's a koach halach luchis, there's a moisture inside that's lo nifsak, umischadesh vitzomeach me'elav. And it goes through this process of a rebirth. That's so much what the story of Tu B'Shvat, and we're gonna elaborate on it in the next couple of minutes. But the story of Tu B'Shvat is the celebration of the rebirth when it looks like it's all lost. It's a rebirth. I know that's a classic Tu B'Shvat idea, but I think we'll try to say it in a newer way, in a deeper way, in a few minutes from now. Let's keep going. Kumo kein mamish inyan yitzias mitzray. The same thing is true with regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, the seed of Yetzias Mitzrayim was planted when, Jesse? On Tu B'Shvat. When does it begin to mamish sprout? When does it sprout? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when it begins to sprout. That's when it really happens. Right? Chamisha Asar B'Shvat is the creation of the possibility of the sprouting. It's interesting. The Svarim HaKadoshim bring a remez. If you look at the beginning of Tehillim, how does Sefer Tehillim begin? Who knows the Psukim? It's good to recite some Tehillim. Important to always be saying Tehillim. Ashrei Aish Asher Lo Halach Va'atzas Rishayim V'Derech V'Chataim Lo Amar V'Moshev Leitzim Lo Yashav. Right? Praiseworthy is the person who doesn't go in the ways of the wicked, and rather he attaches himself to good people. Ki em B'Toras Hashem Cheftso. He desires Torah. U'V'Sora So Yagei Yomam V'Laylam. Just reading out of Tehillim, Perek Aleph. And he studies Torah day and night. V'haya ke'etz shasul al palge mayim. He's like what? He's like a tree that is planted, that is shasul al palge mayim, along brooks of water. Right? Palge mayim means what? It means a river. Palge mayim, a brook of water. Asher pirio yitain beito, its fruit will emerge in its time, va'aleyu lo yibol, and its leaves will not wither, v'chol asher yaaseh yatzliach, and everything it does will be successful. It's a beautiful pasuk. David HaMelech, when he begins Tehillim and he describes it, a person who rises above, you know, the negative influences, right? He's lo halach ba'atzas v'shan, and he studies Torah day and night. And David HaMelech, in the third pasuk of Tehillim, is thinking, what's that like? What does that remind me of? Ah, you know what it's like? It's like a tree. It's like a tree planted al palge mayim asher pirio yitain biito. Chevra palge mayim. Palge mayim, I told you, means brooks of water. What else does the word plag mean? We had it earlier this week. We mentioned it in Gemara when we were talking about the earliest time to be mekabel Shabbos. We said the earliest time that a person's eligible to be mekabel Shabbos Friday morning. The earliest time is when? No. Plag amincha. What does the word plag mean? Half. Right? So it says, David HaMelech, be like a tree that's planted al palge mayim. So the tzaddikim say, take plag of mayim. Take the gematria of mayim and then take plag of mayim. Take half of mayim. So what's the gematria of the word mayim? Do a couple of ramazim today, some gematrias today. Okay, mayim is 90. So what's palge mayim? What's half of mayim?
45.
That's right, 45. Okay? So 45 is Tu B'Shvat. 45, we're saying, is 45 days before Nisan. It's the planting, right, that is eventually going to grow. Right? Asher pirio yitain bi'ito, says David HaMelech. It's fruit, yitain bi'ito. We're describing a beautiful tree, right, whose leaves are not going to wither, and it's going to be successful. That's what we're comparing a Talmud Chacham to. And it yields its fruit in its season. Pirio yitain beito. Okay, chevra, so let's do a little more gematria. What's the gematria, Shoval? You inspire me to do gematria when you're here, you know? Good. Okay, what's the gematria of Purio Yitain Beito? I'll put it on the whiteboard over here. How much is Purio Yitain Beito? Okay, let's go word by word. How much is Purio?
296.
296, okay. How much is Yitain?
460.
460, right? 10 and 450. 460. And how much is Beito?
478.
So let's add it up. 296 plus 460 plus 478. 478. It's a fun number. What's the number? Who's got it?
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. Purio Yitain Beito is 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So the Svarim say the following. The Svarim HaKadoshim say, today is the 15th of the month. Today is Chamisha Asar. And the month is Shvat. Okay. So let's add it up. How much is Chamisha? 353. Is the word Simcha. 353. How much is Asar? Chamisha Asar. Asar is 570. How much is Shvat? 311. So what's 353 plus 570 plus 311? Take a guess, Chevra. 1, 2, 3, 4. So Purio Yitain Beito. When David HaMelech says, you should be like an eitz that is planted al palge mayim. Right, take plag, take half of the word mayim is 45. Asher pirio yitain beito, that will bear its fruit in its time. See, one of the amazing things that we do on Tu B'Shvat is that we're eating fruit. Why are we eating fruit? You look outside, there's no fruit on the tree. What fruit? What fruit? Who sees fruit? You see fruit outside? I don't see any fruit outside. Mamish, you go outside now. You still have snow on the ground for some of us. What fruit? So the Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael is also not fruit yet. It's only beginning. The process is just beginning. But what we're celebrating on Tu B'Shvat, and we're going to talk more about this, is we're celebrating the fact that once that seed has been planted, right, 45 days before Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's already starting to take root. Those 45 days of klita, of taking root, that eventually is going to reveal itself on Rosh Chodesh Nisan with the birth of Klal Yisrael, and obviously continuing beyond that, right? So Purio Yitain Beito, David HaMelech says, listen, plant the tree and be confident that it will bear fruit in its time, in its season. It will happen. And we're able to celebrate it now before it even happens because we're so sure it's going to happen, right? Because it doesn't matter, says Rav Leib Eger, that in the winter the tree looks dry on the outside, looks dead on the outside. There's a lachluchis that's lo nifsak. There's an inner life force that doesn't ever cease to exist. Umischadish v'tzomeach me'elav. And again, it continues to reawaken. So he writes here again, coming back now to our piece. Kumo kein mamish inyan yitzias mitzrayim. Kasher yavo hazman hazeh b'chol shana. Misorer koach hayitzias mitzrayim l'chol echad ve'echad mi'yisrael. It's mamish what we were learning in the Rambam yesterday. In the seventh parak, and we'll talk more about that Rambam today. The seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, right? Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, or Laharos Es Atzmo, Ki Ilu Yatzam Mitzrayim. We're supposed to see ourselves in each generation, in each year, and in the sense every day, as if I'm getting out of Mitzrayim. Right? When the time comes, you're going to get out of Mitzrayim. What can I do? How can I help? How can I help Hashem to get me out of Mitzrayim? The answer is just plant the seed. Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to put the seed in the ground and to believe that eventually it'll bear fruit. Chamisha Asar Shvat is Begematria, again, Purio Yitain Beito. I'll tell you one other nice remez about Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. Chamisha Asar is 15. Shvat, what number month is Shvat? In the 12 months of the calendar year, what number month are we in now? Counting, obviously, from Nisan, because the Torah says, HaChodesh Tzizeh Lechem. Right, it's the first month. Rishon lechem lechadshei hashana. It's the eleventh. Right, the 11th month. It's the 15th day of the 11th month. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's father said that the 15th day of the 11th month is merames to something very holy. Why? Because 15 and 11 is 26, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Hashem's name. Right? There's something, and what is Yud Kei Vav Kei? Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of Hashem of Hayahove V'yiyah. Meaning it's this ability to what? To be able to keep going. Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem always will be. So a Jew also goes through different cycles. There's times when we're mamish slaves in Mitzrayim, and there's times when we're, you know, the king of the world, literally with crowns on our head at Har Sinai. The avoda of a Jew on Tu B'Shvat is to realize that the fruit is going to eventually come. It's going to sprout. Don't become despondent when you see what? When you see the dead tree in the winter. V'zeh shekasuv, and this is the idea that is described, ki yimei ha'et yimei ami, right? Like the tree. Just like the tree, so too are my people. Ki ha'adam et ha'sada. Just like the tree goes through cycles, just like the tree has moments where it's you know, it's blossoming and it's blooming and it's, you know, laden with fruit, there's times when the tree also doesn't look so healthy, doesn't look so strong. Uvizos mare lanu Hashem yizbarach ledas, shelo yisyayish ha'adam la'olam. However, you have to understand, it's not like you can beat the system. It's not like there's certain trees that are just not, nothing's going to happen to it during the winter. A tree has to go through the cycle. It's part and parcel of life. Like I told you yesterday from Shlomo Volbe, right? When you look at the heart monitor, the ups and downs means you're alive. If it's a flat line, that means you're dead. It has to be that way. That's the only way it can be. And therefore, a person gets a lot of chizik. Tu B'Shvat is such a strong day of chizik. It's a day where we celebrate survival. And I want to talk more about that again in a couple of moments. We'll talk about Yosef HaTzadik, connected to Shovim as well. Af im kara lo ezen afila b'davar ma'achas v'shalom. If a person has a setback, and a person feels, once upon a time I was a tree, and I was full of fruit, and I had beautiful leaves, and beautiful, you know, I had beautiful, healthy appearance, and now I feel like a withered, dried up tree. Chas v'shalom, never say that. Just like the tree of the field looks dried out, it looks like it's not going to survive. And then what? All of a sudden, all of a sudden the fruit come around again. And again, we celebrate, we eat the fruit now when the tree is still dead. It's hardly visible on the outside that anything is happening. But we know it's going to come around again. We know we're going to be able to work it out again, to get back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu again. Vizos yasima odom tomid alibo ledas, shemehayom maschil zman is oris yitzias mitzrayim. Chevra, we have so much work ahead of us. Such gevaldic and exciting work. 30 days till Purim. 45 days till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's going to be Pesach soon. We're coming out of Mitzrayim again. Right? The trees are going to blossom again. We're going to make a bracha when we come to Chodesh Nisan. Birchas Ilanos. Celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such beautiful trees. Right? And we believe in those trees. That's what we're celebrating now. We don't see it yet. But we believe it's going to happen. There's an awakening that's taking place in our mind on this day. This is how Rav Leibel Eger explained to us the essence of Tu B'Shvat. Okay, good? Peseder? Okay. So, Chevra, now, let's go a little bit further. Let's see if we can add a little bit more. That was from Rav Leibel Eger. You see in the back of the Sefer, the very back of the Sefer Imrei Emes, it says here, Minecher HaMachaber, from the grandson of the author, meaning the grandson of Rav Leibel Eger, Rav Shlomo Eger Milublin. Okay? So look what he says in his piece on Tu B'Shvat. Beautiful. He adds a little bit to this idea. And then I want to really hammer it home and connect it to this week's Parsha, and as well to connect it to Shovavim. Okay? So let's go a little bit further. Let's see if we can understand a little bit more. He writes, Rav Shlomo Eger writes, again over here, in the back of the Sefer Imrei Emes from Rav Leibel Eger. Minog Yisrael Lechol B'Tu V'Shvat Peros Yuveshim. It's interesting. We obviously, on Tu B'Shvat, eat fruit. But what type of fruit? Should I eat fresh fruit? Should I eat dry fruit? So you'll tell me, well, the minog developed that some people eat dry fruit because there were certain fruits that they couldn't get fresh. So what should you eat? Should you eat fresh? Should you eat dried? Hey, why would I eat dried fruit if I can get fresh fruit? And the minhag seems to have developed over time, not just because of, historical realities of importing fruit from different parts of the world and different seasons and et cetera, et cetera. There's a real minhag. There's a message in eating dried fruit. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't eat fresh fruit. You should eat fresh fruit also. But there's a minhag to eat dried fruit. To chew on a dried up piece of buxar, or a dried out apricot, or to eat a withered fig. Now, where does that come from? What's the idea of dried out fruit? You should eat a grape. You should also eat a raisin. What's the idea of dried fruit? Ubevadai hamakor leminag ki betu b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. It seems to me, says Rav Shlomo Eger, it's not by chance that this minhag developed. There's a deep secret here. Why am I consuming dried out fruit? Listen. Va'inin b'zeh yesh ramiza d'chachmasa. There's a tremendous remez l'davar. There's a tremendous hint here. Daika ba'osam hayamim yimeshovim ha'misugalim l'tshuva. It has a lot to do with what? It has a lot to do with these days of shovavim. These are days of what? A days of awakening, days of tshuva. Days of tshuva, days of coming back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shuvu banim shovavim. Right? Come back to me, Hashem. Rabbi Yirmiyah in the third parak. Shuvu banim shovavim. Come back, banim shovavim. I want you to come back to me. Because I believe in you. I believe in your tshuva. So what is it with dried out fruit? We begin that process of returning, where again that lachluch, that moisture begins to once again re-enter the tree, and the sap in the tree is starting to rise again, as Rashi writes in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yod Dalet. That on Tu B'Shvat, the seraf ha'ilan is olet, starts to rise up. However, let's pause for a second. Let's pause for 1 second. Every month has, according to the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, sort of the basis for all Kabbalistic thought, the Sefer Yetzirah, every month has different things that are associated with it. Every month has a letter that's associated with it. Every month has a body part that's associated with it. Every month has a mazel, an astrological sign that's associated with it. Every month has an action or an emotion that's associated with it. All these ideas are found in the Sefer Yetzirah. To try to make something out of these puzzle pieces is sometimes very difficult. Like, what is the letter? What does this letter have to do with this, with that? We have tzaddikim, Svarim HaKadoshim, Sefer Chasidus that unlock the code for us. That try to explain to us what are the secrets of these mysterious puzzle pieces that the Sefer Yetzirah reveals to us. However, what is the letter for the month of Shvat? Anyone know? Anyone know the letter of the month?
Tzadi.
The letter Tzadi, okay. And what is the action for the month of Shvat? The action or the emotion? So for example, Nisan is speech, because at the Pesach Seder we talk a lot. Right? Iyar is hirhor, is thinking. What is the action for the month of Shvat, the 11th month of the calendar year?
Eating.
It's eating, and it's a very specific term for eating called le'ita. Le'ita. Le'ita is a very gluttonous form of eating, as we find by Esav. Remember what Esav said when he traded the b'chora? What did he say? Halitainina. Right? Halitainina min adom adom azeh. Right? Pour it down my throat. Le'ita, Chazal used as a term for feeding an animal, for stuffing a camel. You take food and you literally stick your hand down its throat and put it in its stomach. It's a very strange process. Le'ita is a very gluttonous form of eating. And obviously, le'ita is connected to Shvat because we try to what? We try to fix our eating. As we learned in the Nesivos Shalom. That the way that we attain Kedusha is through Kedusha's Inyone Arayos and Machalos Asuros, the way that we eat. So le'ita, right, is not saying we should eat in a gluttonous fashion in Shvat. We try to fix all the gluttonous eating that we do, and we try to eat in a more refined way. We try to make better brachos. That's what we do on Tu B'Shvat. We enjoy Hashem's fruit, but we do it with greater sensitivity. Okay, what is the mazel? What is the horoscope, the astrological sign for the month of Shvat? Anyone know?
Aquarius.
What is it?
Aquarius. I don't know it in here.
What is the sign? What is the sign? It's a delay. It's a pale. Okay, the pale, the delay. Interesting. What is a pill? Let's pause right there. That's part of the reason I started to share this. What is the nature of a dali? What do you do with a pail? What do you do with a pail? Right? You go to the well. You lower the pail down all the way to the bottom of the well. And then what do you do? Ah, you bring something up. You bring up. A pail has the ability to what? To draw something up, to lift up. What's happening on Tu Bishvat? Again, Rashi tells us that things are starting to go up. Things are starting to go. What does that mean, things are starting to go up? The seraph, the sap in the tree, is ola ba'ilan. It's starting to go up. It's emerging from the roots, through the trunk. It's once again spreading out to the branches. And there's a rebirth that's taking place. However, there's a gravitational pull on this world that's pulling us down. It takes tremendous courage to believe that I can fight against gravity, to be able to go up. A dli has this koach, a pale, is reminding us of this ability to what? To sometimes dip down into a low place and then to be able to bring something up to a very high place. Isn't that what Yetzias Mitzrayim is? Isn't that what we were learning yesterday in Avodas Yisrael, to go down to the 49th level of Tumah and then to be able to come up from that place? So now, chaver, let's go one step further. There's one other thing we need. Sefer Yetzirah says every month has a body part. The body part for the month of Shvat is the Korkavan. The Korkavan. Anyone know what the Korkavan is? The Korkavan is the stomach. Again, it's usually a term that we associate with an animal's stomach, not a person's stomach. But again, that's the tikkun of achila that we're doing during these days. So much connected to shovavim, the way that we eat, the way that we use our body. Right. So these are the pieces that are given to us by the Sefer Yetzirah for the month of Shvat. The letter Tzadi, Le'ita, Dli, and Korkavan. So the Tzadikim say the following remes. Right? Let's add up the gematria of these four things. Okay? Another remes, an amazing gematria. And then, since these are the four things that are associated with Shvat, maybe if we want to come to Tu B'Shvat, the midway point of Shvat, maybe we should take these things and cut them in half. So let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see what we do. Okay? How much is Tzadi? Let's just do this remez, then I'll take your comment, Yaakov Weider. Tzadi is 90. Okay? Tzadi is 90. What's the gematria of Le'ita? So Lamed and Ayin is 100. And 10 and 9 and 5 is 124. Le'ita is 124. So we have 90 and 124 is how much?
214.
Okay, 214. Let's add a dli. Let's add a pail, 44. So 214 and 44 is how much?
258.
258. And now Korkavan is 458. So let's add 458. What did you say? 258 and 458?
716.
Anyone know about 716? Shaval, you know about 716? Shaval's my go-to numbers guy. Listen, you gotta take over. Nani's not around anymore. You gotta step up, you know? 716.
It's the address of the Coltons, Rebbe.
Oh, yeah? That's a good number. 716. 716. 716 is 2 times Mashiach. Mashiach is 358. And we know there are 2 Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So 2 times Mashiach is 716. If you take the things that are associated with the month of Shvat, and again, today is the halfway point of Shvat. Palge Mayim, right? Like we were just learning. Tu B'Shvat is Plag of Mayim, 45 days before Nisan. So if you take, so to speak, half of all of these things, because today we're at the halfway point of Shvat, so 716, you split in the half, is 358, is Gmatria Mashiach. So you could say it like that, or you could say, no, it's, you put them all together and it's the combination of the two Mashiachs. It's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, which we were learning about. Again, Mashiach ben Yosef represents Kedusha. Mashiach ben David represents Emunah. Right? Kedusha, Emunah, the ability to believe that I can actually be an Ish Kadosh. The combination of Yosef and David, it's mamish. It's mamish, such a deep and important thing. Okay, chaver, let's keep going. So the Dali, the pale, has this ability to dip down to a low place and to lift something up. I'm just sharing this remez because I want you to understand, Shvat is a very halakha month. There's a lot that's happening. So now, Rashi says the sap is starting to go up in the tree. Things are starting to rise up. Umimenu achar kach smichas hapri, and then things are going to start to blossom. Pir yo yiten b'ito. We're going to produce the fruit once again. V'hinei b'choref, kasher nashu ha-peros, v'gam ha-olim, v'ha-ilan nira yavesh, mikoro. In the winter season, when the fruit falls off the tree, and the leaves fall off the tree, and the root of the tree, and the trunk of the tree seems so dried out, ulamaras ayin nidma ki ilan charev, it looks like a dead tree, v'avar min ha-olam, v'ein lo takana yoser. You look at the tree in the dead of winter, you say, this tree, there's no way it's gonna come around again. It's over. It cannot possibly come back to life. V'acher kach roim, ki maschil mechodash litzmoach v'lasos peros. And then all of a sudden you see that the tree starts to renew itself, and it starts to produce fruit once again. Right? V'lo nikar bo acher kach ki haya pam yavesh, to the point that you don't even remember when it's finally, this tree is in full bloom, you can't even remember how dry it was. It's all alive right now. Yuksiv ki adam eitz hasadeh. And chaver, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, based on the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, that a person is like the tree of the field. A person also, in these days of Shovavim, a person is also like this tree. Chaver, I want you to think for a second about whatever you think the greatest point of your religiosity was. Whether it was a certain moment on a particular Yom Kippur, or whether it was a certain, you know, period of your time that you were learning in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, right? Or whether it was, I don't know, whatever it is, wherever you think, or the time that you spent a day in the old city of Yerushalayim, and you davened at the Kotel, and you sat there for hours saying Tehillim or something, and you felt like mamish, you know? Whatever that period is, picture what you think is your greatest moment. And now, if you can, I don't want to, God forbid, make you uncomfortable or embarrass you, but I want you to think about maybe one of your lowest moments. And they're like worlds apart, right? When I look at my best self, bearing so many fruits, and I look at my worst self when I'm so dried out, and I look lifeless in my Avodas Hashem, it's hard to imagine it's the same tree. But ki adam eitz hasadeh, a person is like the tree of the field. And just like the tree goes through this remarkable cycle of being so dead that you can't believe it's going to be alive, and so alive that you'll never imagine that it'll ever dry out again. And yet that cycle is built into Teva and it repeats itself again and again. So to a person. Ki gam ha'adam lefamim acharei shepogam b'maisav. When a person has fallen apart, has made bad choices, and he made some mistakes, motzi es atzmo ki'ilu nechrav lo olamo. He thinks, I'm never going to recover. This tree is dried out. I'm never going to have fruits again. Right? What are the fruits of a person in this world? Torah, mitzvah, samaisim, tovim. V'nidma lo ki ein lo takana olamis, v'tikva, there's no hope, there's no takana, letakin masha pogam v'chiser. There's no way he's going to fix whatever it is that he ruined or destroyed. Yaakov Weider, I told you could comment. I'm sorry. What did you want to say?
Oh, all good. I think it was basically kind of what Rashi was saying. I was just going to talk about the nature of like trees, how the way water goes up in trees, it's exactly against gravity. Like that's what it does.
Right.
But I think that's what Rashi was saying anyways.
And to me, that's one of my favorite aspects of this chizuk that we're getting from Tu B'Shvat, right? The ability to what? To rise up again. Again, a dli, a pail. To be able to take a pail. It could be the korkovan, I'm not sure, but it could be the korkovan is maybe considered part of the animal that has this ability not only to, you know, to digest food, but maybe to also, you know, kind of like the process of regurgitation that takes place within the animal, right? To be able to bring the food back up again and then to process it again. Again, I'm not sure if that's exactly how the korkovan works, right? But this ability to what? To take something from a low place and to lift it back up and to fight against that gravitational pull. That's right. Think about a seed in the ground. Chaver, think about it for a second. Think about a seed that's planted in the ground, buried in the dirt, and fighting for its existence. It's decomposing in the dirt, and then slowly, slowly it starts to sprout, and it's pushing, it's trying to fight, it's clawing its way through the dirt back to the surface until it finally breaks through. Is there anything more beautiful and courageous than that? It was buried, it was dead, right? What do you bury? You bury something that's dead. And you bury a seed, and dafka, after it's buried, it decomposes in the ground to the point of it's of almost no return, like a Jew in Mitzrayim. Then all of a sudden it fights its way through, it pushes, and it breaks through whatever that blockage is to reemerge in the world. We're going to talk about it. I know, we have to get to other things this morning, but I need a few more minutes if it's okay. Because Klal Yisrael in this week's parasha were also trapped. We were also stuck, like that seed beneath the dirt. When the Jewish people were standing in front of the Yam, there was nowhere to go. They were totally stuck. And they said, Hamabli ain kvarim b'mitzrayim. Why'd you have to take me to the Yam Suf to bury me here? You could have buried me in Egypt. B'chevra, when you bury a seed, that's the beginning of its growth. That's the beginning of where it starts to, and with tremendous courage, it fights back. It goes up, exactly. Yaakov Vida, like you were saying, the water that rises up in the tree, the sap that rises up in the tree, drawing from beneath the surface to be able to produce a fruit that everyone can see with their eyes and enjoy, to taste it and enjoy it. So look what he writes here. We learn from the tree, v'yazbonin ki yachol letakin ma'isav u'lahagia afilu ad asher lo yishar bo shum shemetz yimashahayah. It's possible for that tree to undergo this unbelievable transformation, that the earlier days disappear, and a person undergoes such a transformation that, again, you can't even understand how these two things are related. He quotes the Psukim in Sefer Iyov. Look what it says in Sefer Iyov. Beautiful, beautiful Psukim. Listen to these words. Psukim in Iyov Perek Yud Dalet. What does it say? The Pasuk says, Ki yesh le'etz tikva, the tree has tikva, the tree has hope. Im yikares va'od yachalif, if the tree goes through a period of what? If the tree goes through a period of being destroyed or being cut down, yikares, od yachalif, it can still what? Yachalif, exchange itself. It can renew itself. It also has a lot to do with Shvat, changing and renewing. Right, the name of Hashem that's connected to the month of Shvat is hinted to in the concept of in the Psukim by Temura. At the end of Chumash Vayikra, the Torah talks about a concept called Temura, which is if I make an animal holy and I decide I want to exchange it for another animal, what happens? You're not allowed to do that. The halacha is they both become holy. So every month has an arrangement of Hashem's name that corresponds to the month. Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's different ways to rearrange those letters. 12 different ways. Each one corresponds to a different month. The month of Shvat is Merumas in a pasuk that describes Tmura. It says by Tmura, it says Vahayahu Tmuraso Yekodesh. Right, that if you try to exchange one for the other, Hamer Yimirenu. If you exchange Vahayahu Utmuraso Yekodesh, that's what the pasuk says. So the name of Hashem for the month of Shvat is Hey Yud. Vav Hey. That's what it says. That's what it says in the Sfarim. And it's hinted to in the words, Hamer Yimirenu, the first letters. Hamer is a Hey, Yimirenu, Vahayahu, Vav Hey. Hey Yud Vav Hey. It's talking about exchanges. It's talking about a forbidden exchange, which actually creates and produces more holiness. Again, Avi Fried decides he's giving an animal to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he decides, you know what, I don't want to give this animal, I want to give a different one. So he says, I'm exchanging this one for that one. I'm transferring the holiness from this animal onto that one. What happens? The Torah says, now they're both holy. It's an Isser. It's an Aver, a Tmura. You're not allowed to make that exchange. And if you do, the punishment, so to speak, is that they both become holy. You have to bring two Karbanos now. So the concept of exchanges, as hinted to in that Pasuk, is connected to the month of Shvat, because Shvat is where we go through this transformation, where something dead becomes alive. So says Iyov, again, listen to the words. Ki yesh le'etz tikva. A tree has hope. Im yikares va'od yachlif. If the tree is chopped down, it'll renew itself. V'yonakto lo sechdal. Yonakto, its branches and its saplings, right? Lo sechdal, will not cease. Im yazkin ba'aretz sharsho. If its roots become zakein, if its roots become old in the ground, Uve'ofer yamus gizo, and the trunk dies in the dirt. Don't worry, don't get nervous. It's not going to die. It's going to come back. Yeah? It's going to survive. Says the pasuk, Me'reyach mayim yafriach. Interesting. From the scent of water, from a smell of water, from a whiff of water. Have you seen it on the screen? Me'reyach mayim yafriach. With just a little scent of water, it'll sprout once again. And it'll blossom, and it'll generate saplings like a nata, like a tree. It'll come back. The whole thing will come back around again. Not to worry. If it looks dead, if it looks cut off, if it looks like kares, it'll come back. It'll find a way back. Says Rav Shlomo Eicher, HaPosuk hazeh nidrash b'medrash Rabbah al Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom. Chazal say that this pasuk is describing Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom. Aval gam remez l'chol adam. Think about where Avram came from. Avram came from a house of idol worshippers. Avram Avinu, the Medrash says, hid underground for 13 years because people wanted to kill him. Like a seed beneath the dirt. That was Avram Avinu. And it's true about every one of us. If a person thinks, my tree has been severed from its roots, I've been cut off, right? Don't believe such a thing. It's not true. Rakod yachalif. Once again, it will undergo, like Eov said, it will undergo an exchange. Its ability to grow again will not cease. It can make a comeback. Techzor alav halachluchas de kedusha. That moisture of holiness, right, will once again reawaken. Meireach mayim yafriach. From just a scent, right, a whiff. Meireach mayim yafriach. From a whiff of water, it'll sprout once again. Ratzalomar, what's the water, Chevra? Al yedeha Torah shenimshala lamayim. Torah is compared to water. Sprinkle a little water on yourself. And once again, yafriach mitzvah sumaisim tovim. It'll be able to make a comeback. And we'll be able to go out 45 days from now, Chevra, 45 days from now. We'll go out in the month of Nisan, and we'll see beautiful trees blossoming. And as the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Mem Gimel, Man de nafik biyoma de Nisan, one who walks out in the month of Nisan, v'chaza ilana de malavleve, and he sees what? He sees a tree that's blossoming. He says a bracha, birchas ilanos. What is the bracha? Shelo chiser ba'olamo. We say, thank you, Hashem, that nothing is lacking in your world. What does that mean? That means even the dead comes back to life. Even the dead tree experiences tchias hameisim. I thought, this tree is not going to make it. It doesn't have what it takes. Now I look at the tree and say, wow, Hashem, nothing's lacking in your world. It can survive. It can make it. Hakavana kanizkar le'el, as we've explained above. Kishiroa b'yemeha aviv ilanos shebechoref nidme haya ki'ilu charvo v'yavshu legamrei. When you see a tree that in the winter was not going to make it. Va'achshav heim alav levim, and now it's blossoming. U'motziim olim u'prachim. It's producing leaves and fruits, and flowers, right? Little buds. And it's producing it all in a fresh way, mechadash. V'lo nikar klal mar'isa mechor. I don't even recognize this tree anymore. So a person looks at himself and he says, wow, that's me also. And he makes a bracha. Shalochiser ba'olam o'klum. There's nothing lacking in the world, nothing lacking in my world. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me also. Hashem made the world with everything that I need to be successful. I fell apart. I don't think I can find my way back. Nah, chas v'shalom. Of course I could find my way back. U'v'chod ha'shvat, he says, nemar b'ilanos d'chodr be'ziva li'ilana. In the month of Shvat, the ziv, the splendor, the shine of the tree is coming back. And he ends with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Look at this. He says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that they sent a letter to Mar Ukva, who was the Reish Galusa at the time. They sent a letter to Mar Ukva, and how did they address him in the letter? Look at this, it's beautiful. Shalchu le Mar Ukva, lidziv le kabar bisya shalem. To the one who shines like the son of Bisya, or Basya, Basya Basparo. Who's that? Moshe Rabbeinu. To the one who shines like Moshe, shalom aleichem. Why did they write to Mar Ukva, to the one who shines like Moshe Rabbeinu, to the one who shines like the son of Basya? What does that mean? Rashi explains, al deziv le, the one who shines, Mar Ukva bal tshuva hava. Mar Ukva was a bal tshuva. Mar Ukva became a very successful Jew, but he didn't come from an obvious place. Haresha ziv inyan tshuva. Ziv, shining. Getting back your shine is the concept of tshuva, is the process of tshuva. And just like the tree is getting back its shine during these days, a person is getting his shine back during these days. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Eicher, you know why we eat dry fruit on Tu B'Shvat? Because we believe in the dry fruit. We believe in the dry fruit. We believe the dry fruit's going to make a comeback. L'ramiza d'chachma sabiyam elu yemei shovim, to hint to the fact that these are days of return. The dry fruit is going to become fresh fruit once again. the Ilan Sarak, the fruit, the tree that doesn't produce fruit, is going to produce fruit once again. Shoval, what would you like to say?
I was thinking, we were saying how Tu B'Shvat is 45 days away from Nisan.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting why we're celebrating the fruits and the trees now. And, you know, we're only going to see the fruits in Nisan, but we're believing in, we believe in the potential of what's going to be.
That's right.
And we're saying how why are we celebrating now, but what will come. So I was thinking in this week's Parsha also, Moshe and Aaron, they say, Benachnu ma, ma. Like, what are we?
That's right.
Which is 45, but also to, like, what are you going to become, what you'll be in the future?
That's right. You can read it rhetorically, Benachnu ma, what are we? Or they can say, no, Benachnu ma, yeah, we are ma, right? We are what's going to become of us in 45 days from now, as we begin that process of Yetzias Mitzrayim once again. Yeah, beautiful. Very beautiful. But that's it. We're celebrating the fruit now. We're looking at a dead tree, and we're eating a dried out fruit, and we're celebrating the fact that this dead tree is going to produce fresh fruit once again, to the point you won't even recognize it when it starts to blossom by the time we get to Nisan. Okay, Chevra, I know again it's late, it's 10:30 already, we started a little late today, but I want to end with one final point. I want to connect it to the Parsha, and I want to connect it just one step further to the Indian of Shovim and Yosef at Tzadik. Okay, and I'll do it in 5 minutes or less. Okay, there's a sefer here called Chamra Tava. I have the sefer here in front of me, Chamra Tava, written by Rav Avraham Simcha Horowitz, the Rebbe of Baranov. Amazing sefer. An amazing sefer. Ashi's already online looking to get a copy. Fine, seder. I have two, Ashi. Maybe I'll give you one of my old copy if you can't find it. It's a really awesome sefer. A lot of very deep Ramazim, a lot of deep secrets in Torah. He came from the world of Rupshitz and Jikov, and he writes here an unbelievable remez connected to this week's Parsha. I want to end with this. We know that after Kriyas Yamsuf, like I was saying a few moments ago, Kriyas Yamsuf is also like a seed that's being planted in the ground, right? It's like an eitz shosu al palge mayim, standing right in front of the water, and the Jews were totally trapped. And the Jews say, well, there's no way we're going to get through. We can't get through. We're stuck. Like a seed in the dirt. There's no way I'm going to be able to fight gravity and rise up and get out of this dirt. And yet it does. The seed does. The seed in the ground does. And the Jewish people standing by that impossible water to cross are in the same situation. We're trapped. And somehow they have a breakthrough. Chevra, how do they have a breakthrough? How did they get through the water? What caused the water to split? So you've heard that Nachshon jumps in, right? Nachshon jumps in and he caused the water to split. There's all sorts of different traditions about what caused the water to split exactly. But one of the traditions that we have in describing how the water split is what we find in the Medrash on the words Hayam Ra'a Vayanus. The sea saw something and it fled, it split. Like we say in Hallel, Hayam Ra'a Vayanus. What did the sea see? What did the sea notice in front of it? Ra'a Arono Shel Yosef. It saw the bones of Yosef HaTzadik being carried out of Mitzrayim. And just like Vayanas HaChutza, just like Yosef ran outside, he fled from Eshes Potiphar. So when the water sees Yosef HaTzadik, the water flees from Yosef, it splits. We are in the month of Shvat. Friends, we're in the month of Shvat. There are 12 months in the calendar year. Shvat is the 11th month. Yaakov Avinu had 12 children. His 11th son is Yosef. The 12th one is Binyamin. Yosef has this very strong connection to Chodesh Shvat. Today is Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. Today is the 15th of Shvat. Today is the midway point of Shvat. Right? The Sfarim HaKadoshim described that the word Shvat is Gematria 311. With the Kolel, it's 312. The same gematria as the word yavesh, which we were just learning about, dried out. If you take Shvat and you split it in half, if you take 312 and you split it in half, you get 156, which is gematria Yosef. So Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, the middle of Shvat, represents, in a very deep way, today has a lot to do with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was in a very bad situation. He was trapped in Mitzrayim, and he was all alone. He was like that little seed beneath the dirt, totally stuck. surrounded by Ervas Ha'aretz. How is Yosef going to survive Eshes Potiphar? And yet he somehow breaks free. Vayanas vayetze achutza. He's able to emerge from that place. And he ends up in a dungeon. And he finds a way to get out of jail. Yosef HaTzadik is someone who always has breakthroughs. Klal Yisrael are standing trapped by the water. And they need someone to help them to break through the water. Water is also merames to taiva in the writings of the Arizal and Reb Chaim Vital. Who's going to split through all this water? Who's going to break through all of this taiva? And the answer is Yosef HaTzadik. The sea parts ways when it sees Yosef HaTzadik coming. So Yosef gives us the strength to what? To break through. Now, says the Chamar Tavra, just a beautiful remez. Vayashav hayam lifnos boker le'esa no. We're going to read this Shabbos. Parshas B'Shalach, which always falls out at the same time as Tu B'Shvat. The same week as Tu B'Shvat. Sometimes even Shabbos is Tu B'Shvat. Vayashav hayam lifnos boker le'esa no. After the water split, the water goes back to its place. The water returned to its le'esa no, to its strength, to its original strength. For a moment, something even stronger came through. That was Yosef HaTzadik. But then the water goes back, le'esa no. He says here, a nice remez, he says, if you look in the bracha of Yosef HaTzadik gets a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Tvuasa l'rosh Yosef ulekodkod nezir achav. He says, le'esa no is Rashi Tevos, tvuasa l'rosh Yosef ulekodkod nezir achav. The bracha of Yosef is hinted to in this word, le'esa no. In the bracha that we find at the very end of the Torah. Okay? Beautiful remez. But then he says, he writes, sorry it's a little bit blurry, he says again what we just mentioned a moment ago, that Shvat is 312, and half of Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, is Gematria Yosef. Right? And Yosef, in a certain sense, looks like the end of the Shvatim. He's Shevet number 11. The only one who comes after him is Binyamin. Right? The last children to be born. And yet, in a certain sense, Yosef is a Rosh. Because Yaakov always wanted to marry Rachel. Yaakov always wanted to what? Yosef, in a certain sense, is the Bechor. He's really, in a certain sense, Yaakov's firstborn. That's why he's treated a little bit differently. He's a Rosh. And that's why the bracha of Yosef is what? Tvuasa. Tvuasa means the grain, the produce. Le Rosh Yosef. Ulekod kod nazir echav. Like a nazir who grows his hair. Or a nazir, like a crown on top of the head. He says Yosef is really a Rosh. He says Rosh stands for Rosh Shana Ilan. But he ends off, he concludes the piece and he says, the only word in the Torah that has these letters, Le'etano, this word, Le'etano, he says in the final paragraph, B'chol at'eiraf osvan Ilanos. There's only one word in the Torah that has the letters of the word Ilanos. And it's this word, Le'etano, in this week's Parsha. After Yosef plows through the Yam Suf, and the Yam goes back to its former strength. Le'etano, if you rearrange the letters, it spells out Ilanos. Yachad rak b'parshazu b'shalach, tevas le'esano. Le'esano is the same letters as Ilanos. Alkein rosh hashana le'ilanos, yesh b'sheichas, likros parshas b'shalach. That's why we read parshas b'shalach around the rosh hashana le'ilanos. Because again, just like that Ilan is able to somehow re-emerge, so too the waters are able to part way. The Jews are able to find their way through in the merit of Yosef. And Chevra, it's not a Yosef who's alive. It's the bones of Yosef. It's the bones of Yosef. Think about that for a second. Right? That even the bones of Yosef are so alive. That even when Yosef is dead, he's still you know, plowing through, just like he did in his lifetime. That's a Tchias HaMesim Mamish. And there's all sorts of hints of Tchias HaMesim in Oz Yashir. Again, we're out of time. It's not for now. But to think about Yosef HaTzadik, and last but not least, I'll just end with this. Yosef, why was he named Yosef? If you go back to the naming of Yosef HaTzadik in the Chumash, the tefillah of Yosef, when Yosef is born, they daven, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. I want to have another child. Rachel says, let me at least have one more child. Let me have at least as many children as Bila and Zilpah. Right? Yosef Hashem li, add on to me ben acher. So in some of the Sfarim of Lubavitch, it says, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. That when a Jew acts like an acher, when he acts like an outsider, Yosef Hashem li ben, Hashem, make me back into a ben. Turn me back into a ben. Shuvu banim shovavim. I was so far away from who I'm supposed to be. But I want to be a ben again. I want to come back to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But you could also read it, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. That acher, acher means after. After everything we've been through, after the long cold winter, Yosef Hashem li ben. I want to be a blossoming child of Hashem again. I want to produce fruit. I want to come back to Avinu Shabashamayim. I want to rise up against that gravitational pull. I want to overcome all the waters of the world that are trying to drown me or trying to turn me into a Baal Taiva. And I want to draw on that strength of Yosef HaTzadik to continue to push ahead, to turn dry fruit into fresh fruit once again. Okay? So, Chavre, this is just, again, some thoughts for Tu B'Shvat. I know the shiur was a little long, and I apologize for going for so long. We'll take a break now. But to just understand what a special day it is. We're planting the seeds of Geula. And we know that the Geula of Mitzrayim is the Geula that it's just foreshadowing the Geula that we're all longing for. Okay, so believe in your ability to renew yourself. Believe in the fresh fruits that you're going to produce for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Believe in those moments that you thought I'm spiritually dead, that like Eov said, no way. Even if the tree is cut down, it's going to form a sapling again and it's going to grow again. It's going to find a way to rise against that gravitational pull downward and rise up to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim.